Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. It is time to welcome in our guests in the middle studio. We have Cynthia. You're in there, right?
Hello.
And who's in there with you?
That's Alexander Wilburn.
I couldn't see because this little bear is in the way. I knew there was somebody in there, but bear was
blocking. So Cynthia absolutely misinformed us as well.
I was out of the office yesterday, and then I sat down and looked at the paper and thought, oh, Fall Improvements isn't here. I don't know what's in that. And then
I see. Okay.
All right. And we'll welcome in our guest on the telephone. Hi, Janet.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right. So we'll go right to the paper. Cynthia, you have a nice story on Patriot Day, what they put on in Canaan, which is every year they put it on. Not always 24 hours, but a lot of time 24 hours. A lot of work and preparation goes into that for them.
And a lot of volunteer effort. And it really requires that people are willing to sort of stay out there all day in the tent and watch over things and read the names for hours and hours and hours. And I think the last, Nick DeAngelis, who organizes it with the Knights of Columbus, said, I think that they've done it 24 hours for, I mean, interestingly, it's not like they started with 24 hours and then it got shorter and shorter. It's getting longer and longer. And it's the only 24-hour ceremony, I think, in the U.S. Are one of the only ones,
and they do a great job with it, and it's not commercialized at all. There's no, you just go there, and or even stop by in your car when they do it, just stop by and for a moment or two, and then move on. They really do a great job.
Yeah, it's at a good spot, right at Route 7, right at the intersection in North Canaan. And Nick said, when you think about it, 5 days out of the seven, you know, if you're doing it 7 years in a row, five are going to be on a weekday, so they're happy when people just honk or wave as they drive by.
All right, and your next story about the nonprofit and in Lakeville, the Salisbury Republican Club, Republicans. I see the picture there. This is so amazing, of Ken Beneke. I remember when his dad over at McEnroe Farms debuted that roaster many years ago.
It's interesting because you wouldn't think. Well, you look at it and you think, I don't know, how often could you use a corn roaster, but around here, probably actually quite a lot.
Well, you can also make potatoes in there and stuff. I remember when they unveiled it.
That's exciting. Yeah.
That's a nice story about the volunteers. And
yeah, the Republican Town Committee in Salisbury, which had sort of fallen apart at a certain point, I think. It got very polarized at a moment, and they're back together. They're very strong, which is great news because, of course, as our elections are coming up in November, we want everybody to have strong parties and great candidates. And they introduced some of their candidates at the Town Grove and had a corn roast and honored nonprofits.
All right. Residents United in opposition to the signs. I've seen the Not Stolen Conquered Patriot front.us signs. I haven't seen the other ones, but these are in Millbrook.
Right, and the other signs say America, not America for Americans. And you have to want, these have popped up occasionally in our small towns, and I don't think they've ever figured out who's doing it. I mean, you wonder if there's local people that are doing it, and quietly, you know, nobody's taking credit for it, put it that way. It's not like...
And actually, while they're not, you know, read the story, but while they're not breaking any laws by posting signs in general, they should be asking permission, and then that would reveal who's doing it.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because I've seen a few of those over in towards the Torrington Way as well. Right next to that, though, I've thought about this. Is it time for bear crossing signs, really?
And they do seem to travel in certain patterns. Unfortunately, you'd probably have to have one in Salisbury, right in the center of town.
Coming into work over the years, if I run across a bear crossing the road, it is in right after the transfer station, heading towards Sharon. That I see it probably 5, 6, 7 times a summer. Bears and families of bears crossing over early in the morning.
Well, and then you need to have turkey crossing signs. But I think the turkeys crossing is my favorite because there's always one that's the designated crossing guard and then stands in the road while the other ones get across.
Oh, I just like the bears. If there's a car around, one of them will turn around and look at the car with great disdain. And then move on.
Like with the thing with the fingers.
All right. Also, Patrick Sullivan, he's never caught so many fish ever before.
And that's saying something, because Patrick's an amazingly good fisherman. So he came into the office on Monday morning and said, I had the most incredible weekend, and started telling us about it. And you have to read his story because, of course, it's very funny. And then I told one of his friends about it, and he said, the jets will even out his good mood. And in fact, that is what happened.
All right. Two great stories, one by Patrick, one on how a box of papers opened up a real big view of the Civil War.
I always say to people, so in our office where there are many young people who graduated from Housatonic Valley Regional High School, whenever Peter Vermilier's name comes up, they always applaud and go, oh, he was my favorite teacher. And I always say Peter Vermilier is the only person that's ever made me understand why people are so interested in the Civil War. He just explains it so beautifully and puts such drama and romance in it. And, of course, the hard facts and the tragedy and the hardship. So he found this box of papers, or a box of papers was found, and it talks a lot about African Americans in the Civil War and about some of the reasons why there was a very high enlistment rate in that war. And so it's all explained in this article, which is by Patrick, and very interesting.
All right. Great, interesting story on the walk through history. But, you know, when you look at stories like this, this, what a great way to get away from it all and then do something that's really extra special.
Right. And it's Shane and his dad, Shane Stanfill, who was one of our interns over the summer, and his dad, Kurt. They're very close. Shane is an extraordinary kid. Also, he has a sister named Brooke, who's also wonderful, and I believe they're both on the sports page this week. So Shane is a senior at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, was an intern with us, did great work, and then said, well, I'm off to go hike to Hadrian's Wall with my father. And so I think it was Alex that said, you should write an article about that. And Shane did a great little story. Very funny, very first person, a lot of rain. And he mentioned something that comes up a lot with our summer interns, which is we always send them out to interview Appalachian trail hikers, and that always ends up being one of the things they are that's most memorable for them. So he talks about how he thought of that as he was hiking and as he was stopping and talking to other hikers. And he mentions in his article the comparison of what he found while doing those interviews here and while chatting to people on his hike with his dad.
All right, turning the page, and you've got a nice story and lots of color pictures, the Butterfly Festival at Sharon Audubon.
Right, Deb Alexinas, who's such a great writer and takes such great photographs. And it's interesting because I think that people feel badly for the butterflies that get caught and pinned, but there's a guy who was at the Audubon Butterfly Festival that had a really extraordinary collection of butterflies that he had caught in his backyard. And who knew that you could find that much variety of butterflies around here? I always see a lot of moths, but I don't see that many butterflies. But the Sharon Audubon has opened up its butterfly section and had a party and lots of butterfly activities described beautifully by Deb.
And then Eric Vedden has Patrick Sullivan.
That's right. Eric is very funny, and we've been watching his videos since the very first one came out, and he's now in his 21st. And Eric is a very interesting character, and he, like Patrick, is kind of quiet and deadpan. And so the two of them have cooked up a little bit of a friendship. And so Eric likes to go out and videotape Patrick when he's fishing. And Patrick and he like to tell funny stories about each other. So in this 21st edition of Eric Vedden's videos about Falls Village and the people in it, he spends some time with Patrick fishing.
And the next page really is an agriculture-based page. I mean, you've got the Cornwall Ag Fair, but then a great story by Patrick on the fight between invasive and non-invasive, non-native plants.
So Leela Hawken went to the Trinity Retreat Center in Cornwall next to the river, and it was the Ag Fair, which used to always be held on the green, but was wonderfully held at Trinity. She got beautiful photos, a very funny story she wrote about ox, which we didn't realize an ox is a castrated bull. Who knew? And got some local young people.
The bullnose.
The what?
The bullnose.
The bullnose, yeah. Yeah. Somebody knows. But a really great, interesting story. And if you want to find out who won the catch-up contest, read Leela's story. And then Tom Zetterstrom, who is so tirelessly fighting against non-native invasives, often with the help of Christian Allen, went out with Ag Ed former superstar Bob Gambino, who was the head of the department for many years, and they gave a lecture to town crews about how they can help fight against some of the really aggressive invasives, including knotweed, which is not only overwhelming many of our native plants, but also even some of the other non-native invasives.
All right. You've got probably the news story, with end quotes, of the week is the doubleheader that we've talked about here, the planning and zoning in North Canaan, denying the Metcalf site plan, but then the zoning enforcement officer resigning, saying that, this is a story that is just really heating up.
This story is so complex and is going to continue on, sadly, for a long time. And I won't try to explain it. You should definitely read Leela Hawken's two really good articles on it. But it's about multiple conflicting seeking for permits, lawsuits that are following up. Ben Metcalf would like to do, I think it's Warm Patch, read Lila's article for the definitive on it. The people of East Canaan are fighting against it really, really hard. And there's a sense that the decisions that were made by the Planning and Zoning Commission were that some members of the commission don't support it. And so the new zoning enforcement officer, who everybody seems to agree is fantastic, resigned over the Planning and Zoning Commission decision. And then subsequently, two members of the commission have stepped off, and one member of the commission who is running for election in November as an alternate has taken his name off the ballot. So there's definitely a strong... While there's a strong grassroots fight against the plant opening, there's also a sense in town that something is not being handled properly on the commission. So it'll be complex, and unfortunately it's going to be divisive, but we'll follow it at the Lakeville Journal.
And it's going to be time-consuming, and there's going to be lawyers involved, and these are all volunteers that go on these commissions.
Yeah.
There is a level that you can get to and just say, you know what?
Yeah.
Can't do this anymore.
The trouble, too, is that planning and zoning is super complex, and that you have one person who's got a strong personality that's been running that commission for a long time. And there's been a sense for many years that maybe there's too much of a strong arm being used.
Well, we'll see what happens. More and more things wind up in the courts. And you would have thought that the Housatonic Railroad Company would have learned a long time ago.
Right.
And once again, they just neglect and they should be over-concerned when they spray just to keep their image, never mind for everybody's health and welfare.
Because it's not like nobody doesn't notice. So, and here we have two conflicting stories, which is we have the Tom Zetterstrom, Bob Gambino story, where they're saying the only way you can fight these non-native invasives is with glyphosate. But they're stressing that you should do it really responsibly. You shouldn't be just mass spraying. They talk in the article a little bit about how to do it, and the repeated comment is just make sure you read the instructions. So what the railroad is doing is the opposite of that, which is they're mass spraying, and they're killing all the other plants around the invasives that are growing over the railway track. So a huge problem had actually reached our state legislature. We thought that there was legislation against this, but here we go again.
You know, and if you go back to when Housatonic Railroad first came back, they wouldn't be so unpopular if they didn't do this mass spraying in the beginning 20-some years ago. Really, that's the thing I just don't understand about it.
And then the tricky part, too, is that you don't want the trail because the tracks are all falling apart, and we've had a couple situations where the trains have fallen off the track, and it definitely doesn't help if you've got big vines growing up around them. So it's complex, but there's got to be a better answer.
Nice story on the way. It used to be in Falls Village.
Dick Hines, one of the Housatonic Heritage Area Tours, an organization that started here in the northwest corner, but I'd say the majority of those walks are in Massachusetts this year. But go online or look for the brochures around town.
And Falls Village Board, they're going to go with actions against the regular school board.
Right, the Region 1 school board, it's been an ongoing dispute between Falls Village, which is always a little bit of the rebel army. Read about it in Patrick's story.
All right, and let's move on to eggplants and why we salt them.
It's been a great eggplant year. I had always thought you salted them for bitterness, but I have discovered...
I always thought it was because to get water out.
Yeah, so now I know it's to get water out of them. So the article explains, and I would say I still, when I roast them, I'm not going to salt them. But when you're making eggplant parm, which I just made a ton of, much easier to work with them if you salted them first. And then a new product that's being tested... as a mosquito repellent and seems to be having great results. So if you want to know more, read that article.
All right. many, many different obituaries this year.
Huge, yeah.
This week in the paper. And also a nice picture of the owner of the electric bike shop in Cornwall.
Right, Bob Ensign, who's actually running for office in Sharon. I know we're fixing up our election charts right now and getting ready to do articles on some of the candidates.
I think it's very interesting. Somebody who's going to run for office has electric bikes. Run bikes.
Oh,
you know,
I get it.
Terrible joke. If you have to explain it, you know it's really bad. Okay.
All right.
Let's go.
Everybody
on.
Should carry cash in their pocket.
Let's go on to the editorial page. 21st Century Fund marks 25 years.
That's right. You know, anyone who knew Jack Mahoney, who was such an icon of our educational system here in the northwest corner, will remember what an effect he had on everybody he met. He was just a strong, positive person. And one of the things he did was take a cross-country trip during a sabbatical at one point when he was principal at Housatonic Valley Regional High School. and look at what other schools were doing to support their communities and find ways to expand educational opportunity. And he came back, and what came out of that was the 21st Century Fund. And it has done so much over those 25 years to support so many students and educators who want to be able to change the way they look at things, expand what they're doing, understand all kinds of things that they would not have the opportunity to do within the classroom. And it's just been a fantastic fund. So do read the editorial. Keep track of what they're doing. They have a community presentation coming up, a celebration of the fund, and you know, don't miss that. Stop in and see them and take a look at everything. And so many people have been touched by it over the years, too. So many families, you know that somebody that they know or, you know, are part of their family has been helped by this fund. So support them.
Lots of letters to the editor, and once again, on the Viewpoint page, lots of different articles as well.
That's right. We have another celebration, and this is of a store in Kent, which is Foreign Cargo. It's the 50th anniversary, incredibly, because really it's hard for a retail shop to last that long. But in this case, the founders and their children have all been involved, and it's a fascinating story. One of the founders' sons and daughter-in-laws wrote us this history, and don't miss it. It's fascinating. We also have a reply to Skip Barber's letter last week from Maria Horn. Give that a read. And don't miss the letter from Tom Shackman and John Pogue on safety in Salisbury Center. It's very personal for them and a really well-thought-out plan in this letter. So give that a read.
All right, we're going to go on to the in paper compass, and then also the reason Mr. Wilburn's here, the big session.
That's right. I'll quickly say Compass is inside the paper. We have a lot going on, even though it's this sort of in-between season between summer and full-blown leaf-peeping season. But don't miss the fact that Hotchkiss School is going to have the Hotchkiss Philharmonic Orchestra playing there. Give this a read, and we're going to have a preview speaking with the musical director over there from Fred Baumgarten. So keep an eye on that. And wonderful movie review from Jenny Hansel on Downton Abbey. Cynthia went to see this too, and all I've heard is rave reviews from people who have seen it. Of course, they're fans, but Jenny gives us the background on it and the interest of it. This whole page actually is a tribute to a local treasure, the movie house in Millerton, which has so many interesting and wonderful events, something for everybody, and I don't know if we appreciate how much they've done there. So we're talking about the fact that they had this special preview of Downton Abbey, as well as they have coming up Miles Davis' Birth of the Cool screening, which wonderful piece by Rob Buccino on this, very knowledgeable about Miles Davis. Anyone who likes jazz or is thinking about looking into jazz should give this a read and take a look. And we also have a wonderful exhibit over at North Elm Home in Millerton. Emily Gates writes about the fact that Lily Woodworth of Sharon has her paintings there, and from Patrick Sullivan, Mindhunter, Series 2, Hard Not to Binge. You have to read it, of course. Patrick says it all and loves this series, which is on Netflix.
All right. Well, from there we go to
fall improvements. So in the springtime, I sat down with Bunny Williams, and this was long before her new store, 100 Main, had opened, just because I was really curious. I actually live in Falls Village and had watched this building transform from something that was pretty decrepit into something pretty amazing. But I knew when fall came out, this is really a partnership that people might not know, between Bunny Williams and this girl, Christina von Hengel, who just moved up from New York City. And so I want to give Christina the chance to explain who she was, what she's bringing to the table, and how this is really just a fusion of their both, of their aesthetics and what they both really want to put in there. For Bunny, it's a lot about dogs, it's a lot about gardens and furniture, as you would imagine. But Christina, who used to work at Harper's Bazaar and has a fashion retail background, it was about both bringing in clothing. There are a ton of like really, really nice cashmere sweaters in there. But also, she's a new mother and really was looking for old-fashioned children's toys that she felt there wasn't a market for, not only up here, but in her online search. So this is a store that has all local artisans. It's jewelry makers like Adelaide Harris, painters like John Funt.
The cats are misbehaving.
Oh, the cat.
Yeah.
And ceramicists like Dan Bellows are all inside. And she talks about how it's an organic process where they really just look to their friends and people they knew and created a shop from that. Inside, Caitlin Olinger, who does cocktail recipes for Compass, wrote out how the end of summer can really be a bummer when it comes to being outside, when it comes to entertaining. But even just this morning, it's already getting into fireplace season. And she gives us a ton of really, really nice indoor cocktails to warm you up. A lot of bourbon-based cocktails. She's very inventive. She does stuff with pears and figs and a ton of cinnamon and cardamom and stuff you would never think of, but it looks fantastic. And they're really interesting.
We've got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left.
Oh, well, Priscilla McCord, who has an amazing garden that she keeps going for fall with hydrangeas and dahlias, talks about a very relatable story about how she was a financier in the city, moved up to Connecticut, had no idea about gardening, and really had to dive in with the help of a lot of local people. So it all starts from somewhere. Sherman Palmer, who is a logger who was hired by Libby Hall in our ad department. She was so amazed by him that she thought he has to go in fall improvements. She was so impressed by the work he did with her trees.
And the last thing on cider.
And King's Highway Cider is a fairly recent venture from McEnroe Farms, and it's already collecting a ton of awards. So you should stop by and check it out.
All right, and that is in the special fall home improvements.
Yep, and lots more. And don't miss Alexander's editor's note in here. Just will get you right into fall.
All right, tricornernews.com, also on Facebook and Instagram. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Take care. That is this week in the Lakefield Journal. Once again, tricornernews.com, and you'll find them on Facebook and also Instagram.